We're turning in our Bibles to the first chapter of the book of Job. Job chapter 1. You'll find Bibles in front of you in the pew. Make use of them. The Job chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses. And a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence cometh thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth the Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy feet. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabines fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out 3 bands. Fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And God will stamp with his own divine seal of approval this reading from his very own infallible book. I want to take up the most interesting and instructive message on this first chapter of the book of Job. And there we have the great itinerant unmasked. You will notice what God said to Satan. He said, Where have you been? What are you doing? And Satan confessed he was a great itinerant, an itinerant spreading evil and havoc and darkness and murder everywhere he went. And he was going up and to and fro on the earth and walking up and down in it. This scripture, for a moment or two, privileges us to look beyond this world to the great world that is hidden beyond it. Nothing is known of that concealed world of spirits, but that which has pleased Almighty God to reveal in his holy word to us mortals. The uncovering of what is hidden can only be found in the one book which reveals it. And that book is this book, the Holy Word of the Living God. We read there was a day. What day? A mysterious day. A day of confrontation between the God of the whole earth and the devil, the prince of the concealed evil world. The devil tried to conceal himself among the angels of God, the sinless angels of the Most High God. But he was immediately unmasked by God himself. And as God unmasked Satan and took off his disguise, Satan was revealed for what he is, and his innermost thoughts were made known. The Lord said to Satan, Whence cometh thou? Not that he did not know where Satan was coming from. Just as the same way as he said to fallen Adam, Where art thou? Although he knew perfectly well where Adam was hidden in the garden after his fall. Mark carefully the devil's answer. from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said to him, have you in your journey considered my servant Job? For there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Mark what the unmasked devil said in his reply. Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Notice the Lord's reply. He took up the challenge, and he said, behold, all that he hath is now in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Notice well the one that the devil challenged, the holy man Job. And notice how he challenged his integrity. And he said, the devil said to God, he's not serving you because he worships you, because he honors you, because he respects you, because he fears you, but he honors you because of the honor that you have given to him. He's really only a self-seeker at his heart. I trust that everyone that is in this meeting this evening will remember that Satan has you in his sights. He plans to destroy your life and see you in the end in the depths of a lost and dark a never-ending eternity. And he will use every ploy in his book of ploys to bring about his final plan for you to be a lost soul for all eternity. Except God breaks the power of the devil, except God overturns his plans and destroys his ploys, your soul will be lost. There is a price for sinning, and Satan is intent that you pay that price. A terrible price. A bankrupting price and an eternal price. Every penny, sinner, you pay for your ticket to travel on the ship of sin and pleasure, you will pay for all that you give for that journey. And you will reap, if the devil has his way, the full measures of your vile sowing. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You must pay your fare, and you must pay it all. There is no effort you make which will take you by your own strength out of the clutches of the devil. Man paid for his sinning at the fall. Christ must redeem fallen man, or man will perish forever. The price that Jesus paid on the cross was the price of his life for ours, to repurchase and redeem our souls. It cost his own life's blood. There's ne'er a gift Christ's hand bestowed, but it costs his heart a groan. If you are fooled by hell to pursue your voyage across the sea of rebellion to the darkest and deepest hell and this horrible land of perdition, you should stop at once. You should consider your latter end, as the Bible teaches, and be wise. In other words, count the cost, for you will most certainly regret the folly of all your willful, sinful acts. God's refuge can be yours, but you can never know its safety until you are washed in the soul-cleansing blood of the Savior of men. Listen, my sinner friend, there is no salvation anywhere else for you but in Christ and in Christ alone. It is not in religion of any kind. It is not in churches of any kind. It is not in sacraments of any kind. It is not in baptism of any kind. Christ alone can save sinners. And we can all say with Paul, of whom I am chief, the Christian can cry out in a fallen world, for God has not forsaken this world. God is here. The name which Jesus took was Emmanuel. What does that name mean? God with us. What a terrible liar the devil was seen to be as he interfered with Job. His accusation against Job exposed the vileness of his own heart. He was a murderer from the beginning, and his aim was to kill the true man of God. Did you ever think of the price of the bill you will certainly pay in order to pay your ticket to eternal darkness? The price of damnation is to lose all hope of God's favor in this world and in the world that is to come. Set yourself in rebellion against the Prince of Peace. Walk contrary to the commands and will of God, and you'll earn the terrors of a Christless eternity. Without Christ, you forfeit peace, you forfeit pardon, you forfeit life everlasting. You lose them all. God, we read in the Bible, is angry with the wicked every day. Sin puts us outside God's great boundary and puts unrepenting men and women into the judgment arena. How soon will hell's power arrest you? How soon will the night of death close you into everlasting woe and everlasting doom? How quickly will you be locked away forever from every good thing that God sets out for you in His gospel invitation? There is a death whose pang outlasts the fleeting breath. Oh, what eternal horrors hang around the second death. What a price to pay, and what a loss you will experience. But secondly, the price of damnation is to lose forever the sweet presence of the God of all grace and the God of all joy. Loss of the presence of Christ. What a thing that is. What a sham you are left with. The sweetest thing in on earth is the sweet, abiding presence of God. There is not a wound that doesn't heal. There's not a storm that is not calmed by God's power. There is not a darkness that God's presence does not light the torch. There is not a sickness that is not healed by the application of God's presence. There's not a sourness which is not sweetened by its partaking. There's room in God's eternal love to save thy precious soul. Room in the Spirit's grace above to heal and make thee whole. Are you going to reject that offer of God's infinite mercy? Thirdly, let me say the price of damnation is to lose each and every holy promise of God written in His book. You who have to this hour lost the goodness and grace of all the promises of the gospel through the part of life that you've lived without God, go on in that pathway. And one day you'll lose them all forever. I say to you, don't squander any more the immense capital upon the interests of which you could be enriched for all eternity. What have you to get from fighting against the living Christ, who wants to heal you and make you whole? Stay not pondering on your sorrow. Turn from your own self away. Do not linger till tomorrow. Come to Christ without delay. Could I say fourthly and lastly, the price of damnation is to squander unreturning time. There is a term which is written in great letters in the dictionary of the soul's damnation, and it is the term killing time. How the worldling, in his utter deception, hastens his soul to destruction by saying, I'm killing time, doing my pleasures and my sins and working with my follies. Time is a chrysalis of eternity. Only a madman would treat time with contempt. The prodigal in the far country wasted his heritage in riotous living. But all around us we see fools who are squandering their priceless an unregainable coinage. Alas, the Christless sinner is all waste, because his or her time, unconsecrated by faith, is rather desecrated by their folly. It was Mr. Spurgeon, the great English preacher, who said, "Though man calls sins pleasure, who does not know that after the jades and fixes, the sinning man is worse than after the hardest task? How the proud man toils for honor, how the miner pinches himself for gold, how the thief exhausts his ingenuity to get another man's wealth, how hard is a harlot's treachery, how heavy is the yoke of Satan. Look down, O soul, on hell's domains, that world of agony and pains. What are now associate there of widely differing character? How soon will time be killed for you forever, and you will enter out into the everlasting darkness of eternity? Yes, the price of damnation costs your soul everything. Sin is a costly occupation. What loss of money it brings! It beggars all who indulge in it. Drunkard's drink drives him to poverty. The prodigal finds himself at the pig straw. Drunkenness is a greedy sin, but what of other sins? They equally are greedy. The amusement of the devil's amusement parks demands the purse to be emptied. When a large sum of money is paid by deceived souls to help them more quickly to hell, the traveling expenses on the road to hell are very, very heavy. Debauchery burns the candle at both ends. The prodigal devours his substance with harlots. Sin makes mankind shiver on the dunghill of his own debauchery. He who sins will always have the fare to pay, and at the end, the loss of peace of mind. The greatest thing a man or woman can have in this world is peace of mind, a quiet mind. Most men and women are hunted every day by the ghosts of the errors of their own making. Terror drives the wicked and causes fear on every side. How the solemn trumpet will shatter the peace of mind forever, the trumpet summoning you to the great last assize day of God. Before I was saved, I had no peace of mind. But when Jesus saved me, then peace like a river attended my soul. I would say to you, sinner, forsake and shun the vexing, mocking, deceiving, lying vanities of hell's road, and turn tonight to the cross, and find in the wounds of Jesus a hiding place, a safe hiding place. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. No words of mine can describe the anguish of a soul forever lost. What shall a man give, said our Lord and Savior, in exchange for a soul? The loss of the soul is full and final payment, and what a loss it is. The greatest of payment you make for your sins when you are upon this earth, the more terrible will be the payments of punishment You'll have to pay for them throughout an unending eternity. How will you do, sinner, when as a damned soul you look from your bed of flames and cry, even to lesser sinners around you, art thou become like one of us? Only a fool would risk his soul and body, his life, his future, his heaven and his eternity, for a few paltry, passing, delusive joys, which are all the world's, deceiving the sinner. O sinner, believe no longer in the great deceiving itinerant and his falsehood. No doubt as he wanders around the whole earth and walks to and fro in it, he has you in his sights. You are no match for this foe. To engage with him is to court disaster. But oh, this night call to the mighty Savior. Call to the Redeemer, the Sovereign, the Deliverer of sinners. Cry out until you're sure and without a doubt you're safe in the arms of Jesus. Safe on his blessed breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly your redeemed soul shall rest. Go to dark Gethsemane, ye that feel the tempter's power, your Redeemer's conflict see. Watch with him one bitter hour. Turn not from his griefs away. Learn of Jesus Christ how to pray. Follow to the judgment hall. You, the Lord of life, are reigned. Oh, the wormwood and the gall, oh, the pangs, his soul sustained. Shun not suffering, shame or loss. Learn of him to bear the cross. Calvary's mournful mountain climb. There adoring at his feet, mark that miracle of time, God's own sacrifice complete. It is finished. Hear his cry. Learn of Jesus how to die. Early hasten to the tomb where they laid his breathless clay. All his solitude and gloom, who hath taken him away? Christ is risen. He meets his eyes. Savior, teach us so to rise. May God bring us to Gethsemane. May God bring us to the judgment hall. May God bring us to Mount Calvary. May God bring us to the empty throne and know that we too shall never die eternally, but through faith in Christ, enjoy everlasting life forevermore. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Thy word is truth. And may souls in this meeting press this night into the kingdom of God. May they come to the Savior and make no delay. Here in his word he has shown us the way. Here in our midst he's standing today, tenderly saying, come. Lord, help souls to come this night to Jesus Christ. Amen. And everybody said, amen.